Welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
Yes, and I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, young William. Stay tuned for a good show today on the history of our sport through the eyes of the lens of the wonderful Tuxedo Park, Somerset Hills, Westchester weekend in New Jersey, the heart and soul of my old stomping grounds. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh. Yellow hills.
Well, good morning there, young William. It looks like you have a look of a Floridian this morning.
Floridian.
I don't know if it's high blood pressure or lighting or what, but you've got a glow.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's probably because I was away at the lake all weekend tonight.
Ah, that's right.
Did nothing. I went kayaking and boating. I laid on the deck. I did nothing. I slept in till 7:30, which I don't ever do.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Did your sister have dogs?
Nope. So there was no dogs there, which I wish I could bring a dog. I should have brought a dog with me. But I saw three bears on my way in.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen bears up there, but apparently someone's been feeding this family of bears, and so they're making themselves more visible. And they've also had a cougar sighting this year up there. So,
wow. Well, with any luck, who's ever feeding the bears will be food for the bears, and Darwin will have taken care of their stupidity.
Well, it was so funny. I was driving along, and it's a road. It's called Deer Reach Bay Road. And I think, what's that? I slow down, and at first I thought it was somebody had put like statues on their front lawn of bear.
Yeah,
but the statues were moving, so. Yeah,
that's two, that's
mama and two cubs, I think, but it was big cubs. Like they're end of season cubs.
I don't know a thing about them except if a mama's next to its cubs, I'm not getting out of the car. I know that. I know that. Anyway, well, it's good to see you, young William, especially looking festive. Did you have the urge to put a show lead on a stick and run around the backyard in a circle or anything like that? Or?
Not at all. No, I didn't even check. I got this horrible thing on my phone. Does your phone tell you how much screen time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mine came up this week. Your screen time yesterday was average screen time last week was 5 hours and so. I'm like, oh my gosh, 5 hours. So I shut it down. I plugged it in and left it in the bedroom most of the weekend.
Good for you, Will.
So I didn't even check. Didn't check results. I didn't really check anything. So
good for you. And you know, seriously, there's so much written about that. We really should take it and turn it off for a good portion of the day. We can't wait. You know, if it's an emergency, we didn't have these phones and until what, 20 years ago. I don't know when it was.
Yeah. Approximately 20 years ago when they were out, but nobody had, not everybody had them like.
Yeah. I remember coming out here to Michigan, which was 22, 23 years ago. Cheryl and I had two cars and the kids and the dogs and the goldfish. And we had walkie talkies. Because that's, you know, okay, honey, we're getting off this exit. Check. Okay. Breaker one night. And that was only 23 years ago.
Go ahead.
Yeah. We forget. And we got through that life. And if there was an emergency, we just call a policeman, you know, we call the sheriff's department and they'd send someone to your house and say, hey, you know, there's been a problem or your husband's sick or, you know, whatever, or a neighbor. But anyway, we survived somehow. Extraordinary it was.
Oh, no, don't you think that the Eagles were very prophetic though when they wrote Hotel California? I think it was Hotel California when they said we were prisoners of our own device or something like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
They didn't know that these were the devices they were talking about. But we really are. Anyway, I'm glad you asked what I did this weekend because
what'd you do this weekend, Wayne? It was about me in the lake.
I would consider it one of the most enjoyable weekends I've ever had at dog shows.
Oh, that's great.
And I wasn't a participant in any way, shape, or, well, I was, but I wasn't judging. I wasn't showing. I wasn't a club member or I had no specific chores. I did go, and apparently I failed, but it's okay that I failed. I was Brody's bucket boy. He showed, this is our son, ladies and gentlemen, who went to his second set of dog, his second weekend of dog shows in his life, showing a dog, that is, his own. And my job was to just, you know, help him unload, load, be there for him. I'm not all that good at it, Will. I did bring, you know, I helped him unload a little bit, the light stuff, because I'm old now, Will. He already knows the judging program stuff. He knows, because it's all electronic. So he knew more on his phone than I got my old, you got a judging program there, I tell you. My
yeah, pocket. Bring your coat. Now they just bring it up and they zoom in.
He's already bought the Beagles. Yeah, right. So, but my real duty was to be ringside for him because he'd never been in the ring before until last weekend, right? So, He goes in the ring and I'm excited and I'm Phil Booth and Kelly, Kelly, come out in a golf cart. It's raining, so I go over and Phil's kind enough to give me an umbrella, but not until I stood there for 5 minutes soaking wet. He said to me, "The only reason I'm giving you this is because people will talk and say, look at Phil Booth. He's not giving away the damn umbrella." So I got the umbrella, Will, and we sat there in dryness, watching from a distance as the dogs ran around the ring. And Brody won the puppy class, 6 to 9 month puppy class. This is the day after the specialty. 6 to 9 puppy class, which is a big class. And then he went in for winners. And I realized at that point, he didn't know that he had to go back in for winners. Well, he knew. He just didn't know where to stand or any of that. He didn't know what to do with the ribbon. And he didn't quite know what happened when he finally, all of a sudden, went all the way to best of winners and then got to go around just with the special who won at the end. So I could have been there going, you know, over here, you know, here's thanks for the ribbon. Here's a bottle. Here's a towel. I didn't do any of that. All the stuff you're supposed to do, the ribbons, the towels and all that. Fortunately, the kid's really smart. And he figured it out and he looked like he'd been doing it for 20 years and he got himself a nice fat 4-point major at Westchester Kennel Club. A fine time was had by all, but apparently I had chalk in my jacket. It wasn't good, Will. It wasn't good.
As long as it wasn't in your eyebrows. I always noticed when there's chalk in the eyebrows. I'm like, oh, that's a little excessive. I've seen it. I've seen some terrier boys at ringside. They still have chalk in their eyebrows.
Well, this wasn't from his dog, of course. This was from the Doberman's next.
Yeah, he must have rubbed against it or something.
Maybe it wasn't Doberman's. Maybe an Old English. I think it was the Old English that walked by. It was what it was. But anyway, I had the best time because that's my home turf. And the memories walking on those showgrounds, you know, this is Somerset Tuxedo Park in Westchester. And Westchester's no longer across the river, but all in the same place. It used to be you had to go back and forth. I don't know. Well, there's something about shows in the middle Atlantic states on the East Coast that are just, I don't even know how to explain it. And I'm sure there are people in different areas of the countries that would vehemently disagree with me, but there's a history there.
Yeah, there's a feeling.
There's the even the clients, the handlers, the exhibitors, the breeders. It's just so deep and rich, that history. And Westchester's been going on for over 100 years, I think, or whatever. It's an ancient club. And Mike and Michelle Scott are the show chairs now. And boy, do they make it special. Yeah, first of all, they look like Princess Charles and Diana. That's a bad one, isn't it? They look like two people on the cover of GQ or something.
They look like royalty. White pants. I saw the picture. They look like royalty.
Don't they look like royalty?
Yeah,
with the white slacks and the blue blazers. And the
yeah, I saw the
film. And they're running the whole time getting things done. So you pull in each morning. We stayed 10 miles away in the hotel, whatever. Every morning you pull in, there's a different flavor to the dog show, different clubs, different signage here and there, different little touches. And when you pulled in on Sunday for Westchester, by the way, all of the shows were great. Don't let me, you know, but the history of Westchester was stamped. Michael and Michelle and that club who was deep in people of substance and experience, all of them, a great team. You could just see it. You know, the signs were a little different. The flowers were a little different. The, you know, just little touches. And Somerset did a cool thing. They had an old, what do you call it? A bunch of older gentlemen with really cool wind instruments, like New Orleans kind of, there's a name for it. They were great. They were great.
Ensemble, I don't know what was it.
Yeah. You know, like a New Orleans marching band that sits in a circle. I hate that. I don't know. This is a musician. Anyway, they were playing the old tunes. That was a great touch by Somerset. Tito did his thing. Yeah. Everything was just so well done. And by the way, if anyone's looking for an incredible vendor food person, call Twisted Sisters, Patty and her sister.
I've seen them. They're great.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't wait. We ate breakfast and lunch there every day. They're scones. They're everything. Oh, just wonderful. That was a nice touch. And yeah, we just had a great time. But most important, I won't get sentimental, I promise. As a kid who had the good fortune to grow up in this sport in that part of the country, when I get to hang out with Peter Green and Beth, Bobby Fischer, Mike Poisrat, Jimmy Dixon was there, Maribeth O'Neill and Terry Hunt in the Take the Lead tent. I could go on forever, Will.
Yeah.
These are the people I grew up with and the people I have so much respect for. I watched the sporting group with Bobby for a few minutes, and man, that should be tape recorded when he speaks. You know, it's just, I'm so glad you did the interview with him. And of course, Adam and Katie and Peter were there, and Roxanne, and who worked for Peter when I, you know, grew up with that whole area. It didn't stop there. I just left out 100 people, you know, and that feeling of being home on my home turf, yeah, I got a little kaflemped. I got a little, or fuckle, I forget to tell you. A little choked up.
Beclempt.
Yeah, that. I got a little choked up. It was really, really beautiful. And to be there with my son made it even more special. Well,
those shows, like those, the Westchester shows, that weekend, Tuxedo, and then Old Dominion, they all have a sense of history. They all have, when you're there, you just, it's. Not the other shows aren't great that we go to, but these are events, and these are events that are stamped in your memory banks. So it's
The history, you can just feel it.
Yeah.
And it's the quality of people all the way throughout. But they didn't stand on their history alone. They had temperament testing. You know, they had Fast Cat. They had all that going on, which is so popular. Now, some would say the show is spread out too much. I say nay, nay. I say it was perfect because there were lots of specialties, and there were two or three tents in the back area. It's a hike, but not that bad. And we had a tent with three rings with three specialties going on: pointers, boxers and Dobermans, and then others. You know, each day it shifted, but it was always boxers and Dobermans and pointers. And then there was, I think, a Beardy one and a few others. And then there was a tent a little bit north of that with some other specialties. And they had, and John Ashby's daughter had a tent set up there, and she was taking pictures between for those rings. And then over the main rings where John was set up, which is another history. Yeah. Thing, right? Yes. I mean, come on. I said to Brody, you're getting your picture taken by John Ashby today, son. And you'll never appreciate how cool this is, you know? It was just full of goodness. And you pulled up and you parked right outside your ring. I mean, you know, maybe 20 yards from the tent. And the tent was just for your specialty, right? So we had, we set up with the pointer people, and the pointer ring was right there. It couldn't have been any more convenient. I guess if you're a handler and you have to run back and forth, but it wasn't that far. And I didn't hear anybody complain about it. It was wonderful. We had a great, great time. And you felt there was space and there was air, and you weren't jammed under a tent. It was lovely. It was truly lovely. And 1,800, 1,900 dogs. Now, that's a far cry from the good old days of 28 and 3,000, but still, relatively, it's a giant show.
Yeah, for sure. Now, those shows. Did you spend time with Pete?
Yeah, I did. And God bless him. You know, he always has a smile and a hug, and he was able, you know, oh, Brody, he said, you know, it's you got a good dad, and, you know, all those lies you're supposed to say. But he's got his charm, you know, he's got his charm. Yeah. And Brody was so honored to meet him. And we just had him. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's a great weekend.
I wish you were there, Will. You really
I would have loved
appreciated
it.
Yeah, we would have had fun together. And you know, not showing a dog and not judging. I got to watch judging, which was great too. But stupid me. I am so caught up in the moment and the history and the most important of having the incredible pleasure of my son, who I can't tell. I'm just proud of that young man. He's such a good kid. And stayed at a hotel nearby, and we'd arrive every morning at 6:30 or 7, no matter when the judging was. And I couldn't wait for everyone to get there for me to say, have you ever missed a show completely?
Immortal Mr. Ward.
Yeah. But we got there, and then we go over to Twisted Sister, and we get an incredible breakfast croissant. Oh, the croissant alone was wonderful. And then we come back and we sit, and he'd take his little pointer for a walk and do her up and put her back, and she'd take her nap. And we'd go visit with people and come back for the judging. It was just, it was just wonderful. And really for me, you know, we had two lovely large beds in a really nice room at the hotel. By the way, it was a Hampton Inn, and I thought it was wonderful. And I'm picky.
I really enjoy Hampton Inns down there.
Yeah, it was sparkly clean, and we were sitting up in our beds.
Brought to you by Hampton Inns.
That's right. With the pointer jumping from bed to bed, she slept with Brody, but occasionally she'd get up. And if I get up, because I'm a little older than my son, I would occasionally, believe it or not, have to get up in the middle of the night to go take care of something, Will. And when I got back to bed, that little pointer was rolled up in my little warm spot and it wasn't about to move. It was just, it was those moments of sitting up in bed and talking to each other. You know, those are the moments that really counted. That was my best in show. It was really sentimental and wonderful. And I'm so, so fortunate to have been there with him. So his first major, first big win, his first major.
I have to send him a message. I saw, he put a new cover picture up. I saw that.
And by the way, the kennel name on this dog includes our kennel name. The kennel name where he got it, and Tom Bradley's kennel name. Tom's listed as one of the breeders. So I was able to reach out to him and tell him for the first time in about 35 years, a dog with the kennel name Lufnasa got a couple of points. How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? Yeah. History.
Yeah.
Friendships. Nostalgia all in one. Very cool.
Something else happened this weekend. Our friend George did a seminar.
Oh, yes, he did.
He did a two-day seminar, and it was on live AKC TV, too.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm hoping to get together and see it with Doc, and we're going to watch it. I'm not sure if we can. I'm going to look and see if we still can. But I did see the odd picture that came up online, and there was a picture of George in his iconic yellow sweater marching around. He had a look on his face, and I sent a message saying, look at Pops, it looks like he's about to yell at me for going too fast. And apparently my timing was impeccable, because people started messaging me saying, that's what he's talking about right now, you're going too fast at the garden.
Well, I saw one picture, I think Jen's his daughter put up, where he looks like he was scowling, said he must have someone must have made a mistake or must have been mad at somebody. And I was going to post, no, that's pretty much what George looks like.
I don't know if he still uses his original lines, but the one I always liked was, did you wake up and have a bowl full of stupid this morning? I can't. can't imagine me saying that to somebody in one of my seminars, though, because he's George, so he gets away with it. They'd be like, you can't say that to me.
that wouldn't work. But yeah, you know, those, and that's another guy from that area, you know. And I forgot, you know, I had so many friends that, you know, how far, you know, where are you staying? Well, I only live 2 hours from here. You can be in that part of New Jersey at a dog show and be 2 hours from everywhere. You know, so many. I think that's maybe part of it. The density of the number of breeders, exhibitors, handlers, and judges all in that corner. Oh,
yeah, it's a concentrated cool area. It's unbelievable. And again, when I grew up, that whole area, if we drove, we traveled south to those shows, I was in heaven. I had these people that I'd only see in magazines, and it was, you know, you can't. I feel like we talk about this a lot, but I hate for people to forget about it. You know.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you don't want to. I mean, watching Bobby Fischer walk up, you know, to the ring, and he was fortunately set up. He and Khaki were set up not too far from us, and for us to get to most rings, I had to walk past his van every day, and. I don't know, just it brought back so many memories.
Yeah.
So many memories. But Peter's doing great. Beth's so wonderful with him. And I hadn't seen Maribeth in 1,000 years in person, probably. At least not enough to have time to sit and talk.
Yeah.
And Brody went and bought his Take the Lead hat. And, you know, and by the way, Terry Hunt was there with Maribeth. And I love talking dogs with her too.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to know all about the dog. There's a Doberman specialty, and she had so much knowledge to impart there. And she had pointers too, or she showed some pointers. And it was really, really fun. Oh, Dave Fry did the announcing.
Oh, did he?
For Westchester. Yeah. They came, brought him in for that. It was a fun time. I had a wonderful, you know, you get some people to come up and say, love the podcast, but I had a woman that I don't think I knew up until that point. Her name is Heather Donnelly. And I feel bad. We were starting to have a great conversation. And of course, like Brody said, Dad, I can't go 10 feet with you. You're going to stop and talk to everybody. So I didn't have enough time to talk to her. We had a good short chat. She won Goldens on Sunday. And she's a longtime listener. And she said, I just can't wait to drive to dog shows and listen to the dog show drive. So
that's nice.
Hello out. I hope you're listening, Heather. It was a pleasure to meet you and others that had similar sentiments. So thank you. And Peter Kubas had some good suggestions.
<Did he? laughs> for our show. Yeah.
And he pulled off because he's in Westchester now. He pulled off I thought the W that he was wearing was for me. I thought he put a W on there for Wayne that day, but apparently he's a member of the club. And he pulled off the color scheme like no one else.
I'm sure.
It wasn't specifically what you would normally think. He also has a tie process that you tie your knot inside out. Inside out. I have a hard time tying it right side
out. Exactly. I'm not sure we could do it that way. We could do our tie, throw it in the corner, and put it back on, probably look exactly the same as Pete's.
Yeah. Well, that's what Brody's do during when he played hockey, because, you know, you had to wear a tie all the time. He left them tied. And then, of course, when he was done, there's some nice ties, right? So I thought, well, but you untie those after 5 years of being tied. It's not quite the same.
No, it's
the
not.
The tie is done. It's
it
done. Is.
It's all spread out from the sweat from the hockey players.
Yes. Oh, no. It's done. And there was some interesting outfits. Jesse Sutton decided it would be a good idea to wear his suit, but with a football jersey. That was exciting.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, you had
it's it that was time opening, of year.
It was opening day of football.
Yeah.
I think. What do I know about football? It was opening weekend. And there was some team logo regalia. I don't remember any of us doing that growing up. Could you imagine Forsythe throwing on a New England Patriots? Well, I don't know who you liked. jersey to quit the ring.
No.
But yeah, it was fun. Fun times were had by all. A lot of things came to mind. When you have time to walk around and you see the rigs and the setups, and you get to see the hand. You know, I had more time. I'm in the ring usually, right? Walking around, and we had to walk through some campers and things to get to certain places. If you're going to hire a professional handler, you should probably go to their house. You should probably watch how they load and unload. You should probably watch how they or their help put dogs out and put them back up and how long in between. You should probably watch them get there early in the morning and watch them turn out the dogs and watch them get them get ready. Because what you see in the ring might not be is what you're getting 99% of the time that dog is in your possession. I think we've got a great crop of handlers. I think the vast majority do a spectacular job 24/7. But there are some that don't. It's that simple. And doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, who you are. Get some old men walking around that might know that you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
So take care of your dogs, respect your dogs, and they'll show better for you.
That's very
That's
true.
That's all I would say about that.
Yeah, it's very true. Guess what's coming up soon, Wayne? I'm looking at my calendar right now.
I am too. Yeah. It starts with an A and ends with, it sound, you know, the funny thing about Aldi is that there's other things coming up like it. Like there's, we have a food market here called Aldi. Anytime someone starts a two-syllable word with the word A, with the letter A, I think Beagles. And I get all excited. I get all excited.
Are you going to stay and watch the Foxhounds?
Well, we hadn't planned on it because we have to get home with to take care of this building process of the house.
We won't bring that up. We won't have
a
show about your.
I'm telling you, I am so upset about this. It's eating me up.
Yeah.
Been in this house for 2 months and it's not done, and that's just not acceptable. Sick of it. Anyway, it really is. It's crushing our stress and it's terrible. Anyway, we only rented the place, the VRBO, for a couple of days. So I don't know. I sure would like. Eddie's judging. So I'm going to see if we can. And it all depends if we bring a dog or not.
Yeah. Well, Eddie's doing the Foxhounds. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Harriers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent.
So that would really be. And to see the Foxhounds on those grounds would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it will be. When are you getting in? I guess I could do this off air, but I'm looking at the calendar.
I'm getting in time for the sweepstakes in case I'm able to have my entry in hand by then.
Oh, yes.
And you're trimming her, so bring your sister.
Okay.
It should be easy. She's never been trimmed. Oh, so it should be.
For the first time I trimmed Banjo. Oh, my gosh. Well, he's trying to eat the Clippers, Wayne.
Banjo was a different story. Oh, my. He didn't like anything. But, God, what a great dog he was.
He thought he looked good just the way he was.
He was exactly right. And if you didn't, agree with him, he might eat you. What a great dog! God.
He got to the point. I was like, "Okay, well, come on, Banjo." I put him on the table, and he'd give you that side eyeing and just stand there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, get it over with, man.
quick review: I was judging a dog show in Cleveland many years ago, which was the last weekend. Used to be last weekend before Christmas. Now they probably have shows on Christmas Day.
If you build it, it will come.
It will. But anyway, there was a 6-month-old puppy that walked in the ring. For those of you who haven't heard this story, this is the Reader's Digest condensed version. He took my breath away, but he also didn't want anybody near him, including me or his handler. But he was my kind of dog. He was beautiful. And I came home and I told Cheryl about it. The show was on December 14th, as it usually was that weekend. And Christmas morning, he was under the tree. Cheryl went and found him. And bought him unbeknownst to me. And if it wasn't for Banjo, I wouldn't had gotten back into Beagles 20 years ago. And boy, it was just
every once in a while that video pops up where he's an old man. I show up at the house and we're playing dog show in your kitchen. Everyone's like, he's still four square looking at me.
Man, what a dog.
Yeah.
He loved you, Will. God.
He had a good time.
And he didn't love everybody.
No.
Back then we had all the hockey players coming through, you know, Downey and Vanderbeek and all those guys. And they would come in our house. We didn't even know they were in town. And when he come home and they'd be in the living room drinking beer, watching TV with Banjo. And they loved him and he loved them. But he didn't love everybody.
Eagles are just a kind of hockey breed. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure AJ knows it's hockey season. I was telling Sherry the other day, he knows it's coming up because every once in a while I walk in the living room, he's sitting on the hockey chair. Oh, it's time to watch the game. Well,
you must know. You must know. But Banjo's would actually, without Banjo, I'm not sure there would have been a Miss P team. You know?
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been. So, yeah, he was a great dog. And if we get this new one over here, we're trying to import this one. I think I've mentioned it before. And it's been just difficult. Anyway, Aldi should be fun. Even if you don't have any interest in beagles, if you are able to get to Aldi to see this dog show, I'll guarantee you that you will have a new respect for the history of this sport.
Yeah.
It's only held every 5 years. It's in Virginia on the Beagle Club grounds, which is called Institute Farm. Pardon me. And it's just so special. So we're going to be heading down there. And then after that, I'm heading out to California to judge the Silk and Windhound Boo Fest.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that'll be fun.
And I cannot wait. That should be fun. And then I've got to get to work. Oh, so I start to tell you, I'm sitting up at ringside. Steve Herman, one of my best friends and one of the best stand-up guys you will ever meet. He's just, boy, I just so admire him. He was doing Nova Scotia duck tolling retrievers. You call them something different, Will. We can't say it on the air.
But I still love them.
Yes, it's a fun nickname. Anyway, there were 17 or 18 of them. And I ran up to watch. And I'm sitting there so excited that I'm watching this. And I'm explaining to Brody which ones have this and that. And he's a sponge. And then I'm thinking, I could have gotten 2 points by being on the other side of that ring with a yellow sticker on my jacket. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of it. I could have been observing these incredible entries all weekend. And the judging panel, by the way, Kim Meredith, Elliot Moore, Dr. Moore. Paul Campanella, so many others, Steve Herman, so many other, Paula Nichol, so many other judges that I respect in our breeds, you know, in sporting and gun dogs and hounds. It was great. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And Hal Bierman, of course, was there. Who's, you know, he was just so much fun to talk to. And he took over Ken Murray's assignment because Ken couldn't be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And boy, oh, boy, you got to be careful, kids. Second time in 3 weeks for Ken having COVID. It's no fun.
Yeah, my buddy Rob next door had it a few weeks ago, too. So.
Man, it's out there. Still, it's out there.
Yeah.
But and I'm missing so many good names on this panel. I apologize, but it's a serious panel. And I could have been in there observing. But you know what? I probably learned more sitting out ringside, getting to see it from any perspective I wanted, and then talking to Steve afterwards, which is what I did.
Yeah.
yeah, it was pretty cool. There was a beautiful one in there, a dark red, beautiful one, whose coat couldn't have been any more incorrect. And maybe it was just going through, you know, a cycle of coat with the weather. But it was a good test, right? Because coat's so important in that breed. Oh, Donald Sturges, Dr. Sturges, did Goldens one day. Who wouldn't want to watch that?
Okay.
And it's the same weekend as the Golden National, and they still had a ton of them. Because the Golden National was on forever. You could do that and then
travel around,
I guess. But it was really cool to see all those specialties, because you just get to the sporting group was so deep.
Oh, that
the hound group was unbelievable. All the groups were. The Pointer Bitch won, I think, two of the groups and then didn't show the third day. She won the breed but left. The Lakeland Terrier won a bunch of the bests. And there were so many good dogs there in every group. No. Oh, Cliff Steele was there. I haven't, and he, we happened to have had time to talk because he was showing Beardies, which is a specialty near where we were set up. Another good guy, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and Amanda was the new rep.
Oh, was she the rep there? Was she
marking
there? Yep. Oh, good.
And she's going to be a good one. She's going to be a good one. She spent a lot of time chatting with Brody, explaining things and talking about setters and things. Yeah, we had a great time. We had a wonderful time. So all that and more, except this, Will. I flew home Sunday. You know what Sunday was? 9/11.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I was in the TSA pre-check line. The TSA pre-check line. For 1 hour and 39 minutes. The show was over and I had a late flight. So I got to the airport 3 hours ahead of time, nowhere else to go, checked out of the hotel. And if I didn't, I don't know if I make the plane. You know, from MBF, Kevin Niebauer, I was online. He came by and said, "This can't be the TSA line." I'm like, yeah, he was, I hope you made your flight, Kevin, because I didn't see him after that. But the weirdest thing happened. I mean, the weirdest thing. The first flight where all's well, we get to Detroit and we've got to connect in. Oh, no, that's not true. This was the flight from Newark to Detroit. But sniffing dogs everywhere, appropriately so. People were being cool, but a lot of people were missing flights. We get on the plane. It's not that big of a plane. And I'm up in front because I just can't do it anymore. Life's too short. I can't sit in the back anymore. And, so we have our flight attendant and then there's one in the back for coach. And we're about to take off. We're late. Everything was frenetic. And, it was the flight. It doesn't matter. It was a flight from Detroit to Kalamazoo. Small plane, CRJ-6, one of those Canadian jobs you guys built for us, which is very nice of you. and we're in line to take off. It's delayed. We're all tired. It's 9/11 Sunday night. It's going to get in. The flight gets in around midnight. It's not pretty. Everyone's exhausted. And one of the flight attendants refused to sit down for takeoff. We're about to get booted out of the line. And the pilot comes on and he's like, "Everyone must be seated with their seatbelts on." And we all look around. There's only one that's not. And she's arguing that a woman doesn't have her baby properly fastened. And the first class attendant, who's the lead on this ship, is trying to calmly say, "Linda, it'd be nice for you to just, you know, have a seat and buckle on up before we all come back there and, you know, maybe make you sit down." And they're arguing. So there's an argument between the two flight attendants.
Oh, God.
Take off. And finally, the lead attendant who was up front, who was a school teacher for 25 years and knew exactly how to handle these situations, went in the back and took care of it. But it was not participatory and full of confidence for the rest of the flight home. I've never had that. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's
the people that are required to take care of your safety and keep you calm are upset in the apple cart, and everyone's
"That's uncomfortable."
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird.
I don't know if you ever. I'm reading a book right now, 11/22/63 by Stephen King. Have you read that?
No.
It's about it's a time travel. It's about this guy that finds a rabbit hole and he goes back to 1958 and he tries to stop the assassination of JFK. And that's a great premise, but it's when he talks about daily life back in 58 to 61, it's amazing. He talks about getting on board a plane. There's no line. They don't search you. He doesn't even have photo ID and he's going wherever he wants to go. Just the whole comfort level of his life in 58 mm-hmm. to 61 was, it's just a great, it brings you back a lot, makes you think about a lot of things. But
yes, when we lived in Boca in Florida, we flew out of West Palm a lot. And Cheryl would greet me. The airport was outdoors then. The baggage handling was all undercover outdoors. And Cheryl would meet me at the plane with the two pointers that we had. And these are good-sized jets. They weren't private planes. And they'd land on the runway, and they'd come out with the gate, and you'd walk down the steps onto the tarmac, and she'd walk right near the runway and meet me with the dogs. Yeah.
Different time. Different.
Oh, and I just came from from the dog show, and I get on the escalator at the airport, and behind me are two of the sniffer dog guys that are right behind me on the escalator going up. And I turned and I said, just so you know, boys, I was just at a dog show. And they were hysterical laughing. They said, really, it can be an issue if something's been in season, but these things are pre-trained. You know, they don't fall for much, you know.
Yeah.
And they all wanted to know how the German Shepherd did. And that night, a German Shepherd won the group. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. But
the sniffer dog at the Toronto airport for years was a beagle. And I got to know him quite well because I knew his handler. And the dog's name was Sniffer. Now, when he passed away, they contacted me to see if I could send them the right direction for another beagle.
Is that right?
When he retired.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, how cool.
I used to see him. Every time I landed, I'd see the guy. He'd bring him out and we'd talk. And
yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, the depth of quality was wonderful. The entries, of course, were great compared to what. I didn't have time to check this week to see how far we were from other shows, but I do know that a good friend of ours won a group at a show that weekend and beat 11 dogs. Well, that's not true. Beat 10 dogs.
Yeah.
There were 11 hounds entered. Not breeds, not 11 breeds.
No, 11 dogs.
11 hounds entered at the entire show. Total entry 314, I think. Come on. We have to do something.
I know.
I know you're tired of hearing me talk about it, but man, I don't know. Two quick fixes that I've written about a million times. The distance between shows that are allowed has got to stretch. It's too close. And there's got to be something else. I'm more and more of a proponent every day of 100. You get to show your dog 100 times. That's it. We're stretching. You see these handlers look like they're about to pass out from running to 250 shows a year and driving these rigs in the middle of the night. And, oh boy. Anyway, enough. I know you're sick of me talking about it, but.
But it's a continuing problem. It's even a problem up here. It's become an issue up here. Now, obviously, our numbers aren't anywhere near what your numbers are because of our population. But we have the same issue. We have weekends where there's three shows you can drive to. And that's ridiculous for a dog population that we have, a show dog population.
Yeah.
Because you get so watered down where we would have a decent show of 500 to 600 dogs, we get three shows of 200 dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Yeah, I don't know. We're not, evidently no one's going to ever have the courage to do anything about it. They're all worried about getting reelected and they're all worried about pleasing too many people instead of doing the right thing. And that's probably a strong statement, but I'm standing by it.
Yeah,
it's
a true statement though, Wayne. And I don't know. I remember years ago having a conversation with a CKC person about when one show started when it closed and naturally died, it closed because it was losing members and numbers and whatnot. Well, someone brought it back to life. Well, there was a show that same weekend. Why would, if it naturally died, why would you bring it back to life? Why wouldn't you let the show that was still surviving get stronger, you know, instead of watering down the two shows again? And that
Extinction isn't always bad.
No.
It'd be tough out there with dinosaurs running around, wouldn't it, Will? It'd be tough.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
Yeah.
Dog show, all of a sudden, some burr come across.
Like when you're playing road hockey. Instead of yelling car, you know, T-Rex, every
sound. Dog loose. No, dinosaur coming. Yeah. By the way, I talked to a bunch of handlers to ask this question this weekend. None of them want to win. Nobody wants to go to 250 shows. I talked to two different handlers who told the owners who wanted to hire them, I love your dog. I know I can win with your dog, and I know the two dogs, and they can. But I'm not showing them for you because I'm not going to run for number one anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, it's
hard. I'm not running for number one.
Oh, yeah. I hear that even now. I hear that from my young handlers up here. They're frustrated campaigning a dog. They don't enjoy campaigning a dog.
Yeah. But I don't know. So many good breeder owner handlers I spoke to this weekend. So many people that have been breeding and showing and exhibiting their own dogs for so long. That's refreshing. And it's still there. Winning? I was standing with a person I know with a dog who was getting some excellent tips on little things to do, trimming and not what. And I really wanted to, and the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, that's all going to help. It's nice. But what you really need is a hand or an ad campaign. Sorry.
Yep.
It's true.
It's true. You know, you go through this in your head. I'm judging my first full group this weekend.
I think. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So I get to award the group ribbons this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's an honor. Yeah.
Really looking forward to it. It's an honor, and it's a responsibility.
Yes.
And I was talking to my good friend Colin about it, and I'm like, this is my first sporting group.
Yeah.
I hope I do the best I can. I'm going to take Wayne's words and be as selfish as I can when I'm judging this sporting group.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you please.
Nope.
And you have to, I don't know. I'll get into it another time, but as far as I'm concerned, whether a friend or not, whether I think they're knowledgeable or not, when the judging's over, for me, it's over. They're still my friend. They're still someone I know and respect. Everybody has good days and bad. If you're in there to do what you really want to do in your heart and soul, do it. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And if you're in there working through things in your head, and by the way, you will not have a bad day in your first group, but there'll be times, and I can tell you I had a day, I'll never forget it. I think I was a C-minus judge that day. I was hung up on one thing. I didn't like anything that I had, and I got it okay. I was close, but I'd change it if I got to go back. Then you'll have other days when you pull out of there going, and I hope these are all the days or most of them, man, I wouldn't change really.
Yeah.
Very pleased with myself. I did what I needed to do, regardless of who was in there, and that's all you can ask for. You know, that's all you can ask for.
I understand.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, if it's a friend and they have the best dogs in every class, they win every class. It's that simple. If it's a friend and they don't have the best dog in every class, they don't win any of the classes. It's that simple. And you can't worry about what people think about that.
No, you can't.
You know, you just can't. I actually asked Mark DeRosiers if, since Brody was showing, if I could observe. And he said, of course you could. I don't know. I wouldn't observe under the judges that were going to or had judged his dog. You have to be careful of that stuff. I go overboard maybe with it. But if you're just, and by the way, I wasn't judging this weekend. I'm going to talk to people that I've known in the sport.
Oh, no question.
And if someone says, oh, he was talking to so-and-so for a half an hour, and now he's going to judge him in a month.
That's ridiculous. And you're never going to change that. You can't police integrity.
No.
So it's up to the individual. I had this conversation, I think, with Doc, actually, about, you know, he was talking about different dogs winning one. And I said, you're going to run into those people.
But yeah.
You cannot police integrity. You can only do the best you can do.
And by the way, I didn't beat you. I beat your dog.
That's right. And that doesn't mean
I shouldn't say that. Okay? I should say you didn't lose your dog. Lost. I didn't beat anyone.
I had a refreshing conversation with Barbara Heckerman yesterday, which is this week's interview chair. And she talked about that. She talked about people coming and complaining to judges and the judge saying, well, it's not that I didn't like your dog. You came in second. If that other dog wasn't there, you would have been first. It's just that it was that deep today, and that's how I saw it, you know.
By the way, I can't wait to listen to that interview because I have great respect and depth of knowledge and experience.
Oh, you know? I told her she should have judged. She was such a good dog person. She is a good dog person.
Yeah.
I've known her my entire life. I got an English Cocker because when I was a kid, my parents and I were sitters. I got an English Cocker because of Barbara.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yes. It was so great spending time with her.
I'll bet. Yeah, I've got to get out and do some more content and do some more videos and stuff. When this house disaster is over and our life is on track, I was looking for a microphone because I don't have my good microphone. And I was unpacking and I found this. This is the Blue Snowball. Now, these were great 20 years ago. I don't have any idea. I was going to try to use it today, and then I thought, what if I come out sounding like Dr. Spock?
You know? No, who sent me this one?
Who?
George. I have a little amplifier.
That's great. Oh, well, we'll sort it. And, you know, I did have a good talk with a good friend of ours, Will, about more, you know, getting better at our sound and all that stuff. And we're a work in progress, kids. We're a work in progress. So we're just doing this in our houses for the fun and for hoping to shed some knowledge.
A couple of guys sitting here talking on the phone is what we used to do. So now we do this.
So there you have it. Anyway, having conversations with people like Heather, who I mentioned earlier, and others about the podcast, give us good ideas and help us going and give us the inspiration to take our mornings and put an hour away and work around our schedules, which is silly, right? I'm retired, but my schedule has never been busier. Cool.
I know. I've decided I'm going to go to Staples. You have Staples up down there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to find a week-long day timer. So each page is a day.
Yeah.
So I can write, because if I don't write out my daily schedule, Wayne, I can get trapped. I can get trapped doing something stupid for 2 hours.
4 hours, 5 hours.
Yeah, you're right.
The day planners work great. I got to tell you, they're really expensive. I know it sounds silly, but every time I buy one, I'm like, it's like $75 for just paper.
Yeah, I know.
And there's nothing written in it, but they got you. The only thing is I've purchased maybe, I don't know, 20 of them over the years. I use them for 2 weeks.
Oh, do you?
And then
I'm all depressed. Yeah, I was all set. We'll go and get one of these. My life's going to be in order. I'm going to write out my schedule each night for the next day.
Do you have a consistent place to keep it? Like do you have a nightstand or a kitchen table you go to every day?
Yeah, I have a kitchen table, and I'm not talking to you. This laptop is at my kitchen. Sometimes it's there. I've changed it, but it's usually there because then if I get inspired, it's right there.
And when I was working, I had it on my desk all the time. It worked 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But I find that when I'm more mobile, that's when I stop using them. So find a place and keep it there.
Well, see, I'm lucky in this regard that I live by myself. So I can have the clutter on my kitchen counter.
Well, I didn't want to go there, Will, but that's kind of my problem here.
Have the clutter. And if I want to move it to one side and have dinner, all right, I'll move it to one side and have dinner.
It's a bit of a problem here on Shooting Star Lane. Oh, yes, it is.
Sure. I'm sure.
There is no clutter in this house. Cheryl is.
I looked over at my counter and I have my dining room table. I look over thinking, oh my God, I've become an uncle.
These things do happen. These things definitely do happen. By the way, there's lots of talk this weekend about from judges about where's my damn catalog and my tear sheets or my pink copies of what I did. Lots of talk about that. I did talk to some folks at MBF about tablets instead of paper, and I got pretty much the 1972 answer, you know, it's too expensive and there's so many logistical issues and you can drop. What if they drop one? I said, what if I drop a judge's book in a puddle?
Yeah.
What does it cost to ship paper? I used to have magazines. I know what it costs to print them and send paper. They weigh a ton.
And for judges, the cost that it takes you to get your judging license now to where you want it to be, why can't we just get our own iPads?
Hey, why does the superintendent have to supply? We are doing a service to the AKC. Without judges, you don't have dog shows. You're already making us pay for the nose, even for a damn judge's badge. We have to buy one for $45 stupid. I don't know. There's got to be a way to get tablets and people saying, and maybe not. I don't even want to go there. It just gets me too upset. It's just 2022. I don't even need a key for my hotel room anymore. I check in when I'm on the plane in the hotel. I hold my phone up, the door opens, and off I go. I paid, my guy came and did my epoxy floor in the garage. I don't know why I had to do it, but it looks pretty. I Venmo'd him money in 2 seconds. He didn't have to wait. This is 2022, ladies and gentlemen. We're carrying around dinosaur pads with mimeograph paper, and now we don't get a copy of it. And I said, and by the way, we pull into the showgrounds. I said, Brody, you have your entry and your judging program ready? He goes, what do you mean entry? I don't even get him anymore. He gets an email.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds like I'm an old guy because I want the paper copy. But Kevin told me that they ordered, I don't know, 600 catalogs for the weekend, maybe for just Westchester or Somerset, whatever show it was. 650. They used to order 650. Back in the day, they ordered 1,000, of course. And they went from 650 to 250. And they had 250 catalogs there, and they had to return 78. No one buys them anymore. Yeah. And I get that. They're cumbersome. You have it instantly on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. But I have catalogs from Westchester that you couldn't pay me enough to take.
Oh, exactly. I used to love carrying the catalog to ringside, and you'd be watching a breed. Oh, what dog is that? Zip, 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 zip.
Yep. You know? Well, you can do that on your phone.
I know.
You can't write notes on it, and you can't, you're not going to store it on your shelf and refer to it. Once it's on your phone, it's buried in kabillions of bits of data, and you're never going to think to retrieve it. But when I turn around right now on my bookshelf, I can see the Westminster catalogs. And not every show. I don't know. I'm getting old. I need a nap.
I need a nap.
Miracle. Actually, I've got to take a dog to a vet.
Yeah.
So I've got to roll. Will, it's been a pleasure. I wish you were there with me, buddy, this weekend.
Oh, that would have been so much fun. But I did have fun up at the lake, so I did.
Well, you needed that. You've been running hard and needed that. My problem is I go up to our place up north to relax, and I come back, and the house is still a mess. Anyway.
All right.
Peace be with you, ladies and gentlemen. We hope to see you soon. Thanks again for the input. Young William, take us out, buddy.
Well, drive safe out there, guys. And I look forward to seeing you all my next time. Aldi, I'll see you, Wayne, in the flesh.
Absolutely.
Aldi, Virginia. Be
there. It could be disappointing. Yeah.
No. How could that be disappointing?
No, seeing me in person.
Okay.
I'm old now. All right. Peace out.
Stay safe, friend.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
Without you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Taking yourself so damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet. Stranger things
have
come and gone. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold back.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable, though? Put that in, Doc.
I don't want to see it in a blooper anywhere.